Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all of our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interest of our clients and to make full disclosure of any conflicts of interest, if any exist.
This is another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to another Money Show. We're so happy you're with us. Today, we're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff. Oh, I guess I should say who we are. I'm J.R. Rochford, and I'm with Anthony Correo and Sam Davis, our life coach and producer, mostly life coach. So how are you doing? How are you doing, gentlemen? And I use that term very, very loosely.
Yeah, don't assume my gender, J.R. Jeez.
Hey. It's a money show. Sam, how are you doing? Let me ask the adult in the room. How are you doing, Sam?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm in Georgia right now. The weather is warming up. It's springtime. Flowers are blooming. How can you not be in a good mood?
Right? It's springtime. Easter last weekend. So, and I would say thank you for joining us too, Sam, but you kind of have to, don't you? This is kind of your job. So well, we appreciate being here, but we know it's not optional.
You guys can't do it all on your own, but what you can do is you can help the people with finances and reaching financial freedom. And you guys talk about some fun stuff too.
Let's do that. Let's do that today. Let's actually give some decent information and have some fun. What do you think, Anthony? Should we do
that? That seems like a stretch. I only want to have fun. I'm tired of working. I'm ready to call it.
Nice. So, well, let's get into it. I don't care what you want. So our whole thing, the reason that we have a show, we need a bigger audience so we can kind of help people. Our whole theme has been proactive over reactive. And that, yeah, I mean, we're going to stick with that today. We want to make sure that you're ahead of the game. What I brought up last week, when's the best time to buy an alarm system and put that yard sign out? Is it before or after you get burglarized? I know when most people do it. So, you know, I mean, everything with financial planning, it's simple looking back. You know, I wish I would have gotten out of the market in 2007. I wish I would have gotten in the market on March 10th of 2009. You know, looking forward is the tough thing. Most people don't have the stomach or discipline to do simple things, you know, buy low, sell high. It sounds so easy.
A lot of people have to make mistakes first before they realize like, oh, I could have just done this from the get-go. Like, why did I make these poor choices then? But, you know, a lot of people learned lessons in the dot-com bubble. Then they learned lessons in 2008. But you've got a 14-year run-up in the market now where everybody's a genius. You know, this is just going to go on forever. I don't have to save for a rainy day.
You're right. And I hear people all the time, well, this time it's different. You know, Arizona, I know it's this way around the world. I mean, we talked to somebody yesterday from the Philippines. He said it's this way there. You know, there's a huge real estate. I hate the word bubble. I'm not a fan of the word bubble, but there's this run up in real estate that's insane. I mean, we are a seller's market on steroids. And a lot of the realtors are like, well, this time it's different. You know, the Phoenix market, we have people from Oregon, Washington, California. You know, it'll never fall. Well, maybe the real estate market is different this time in that the values are higher. They're going to hold their value a little different. But if we go into a recession, are you telling me things are going to stay the same? You know, I mean, the interest rates, the federal government only raised a quarter of a point so far. And yet, beginning of this year, I believe a 30-year fixed was in the 3% range. Now it's in the 5% range. How do I explain this?
A quarter of a point just doubled mortgage rates. That's their justification. I don't know. I mean, it's so funny how little interest rates freak everybody out. And it's the consumers that pay. It's me or you. I mean, these massive banks have been getting, 0% interest for the last decade from the Fed. But your credit card's at 22%. That hasn't changed.
Yeah, no, it's weird. You know, and our thing with the market, there's people that are like, well, what do you plan on us doing? Are you going to time the market? Are you Warren Buffett? Are you smart enough to time the market? What if we actually stopped trying to think about timing the market and just looked around us? You know, we're going to talk today, part of what we're going to talk about, we want to go deeper into the 10 pillars. We keep bringing up the 10 pillars, and all the 10 pillars they're things to watch. They're things that, you know, people are talking about them for a reason. So the markets, the financial markets, when they're setting record after record, we have to question why. If you've ever heard the term stock buybacks, aka stock repurchasing, if you look at the manipulation, you know, offshore accounts, you know, there's a lot of funniness. Plus, you know, with the markets, with the financial markets, think about, you know, a big thing a couple of weeks ago is 401ks. If you look at the financial markets every single Friday in this country, the markets are getting an influx of money. You know, whether somebody gets paid every Friday, every other Friday, twice a month, that means there's a dump into these markets. Well, that kind of, you know, you're putting money into something, whether it's legitimate or not, it's going to keep it puffed up. And then you add some of the, I don't want to say shenanigans, but, you know, back to offshore accounts and, you know, the Dow Jones.
Let's go back to that 401k thing, because, you know, that's actually going to get even more inflated with this new Secure Act 2. Now, employers, it's mandatory that if there's a 401k that you don't opt in, you have to opt out. We actually just sat with somebody recently who read through their paperwork and we saw that. So you don't even have the option. Before, it was like 30% of people weren't contributing to their 401ks.
Right.
But now you're forced to, unless you, if you're lazy enough to not opt in, now you're probably not looking at your paperwork to opt out, which is great in a sense that you're saving and you're putting away and it's kind of this forced savings. But one, you should have the choice. Two, you're being forced to dump money into the market, which, you know, we talk about all the time, we think is overinflated.
Well, and a couple of questions about the Secure Act too. One, what does it do to the employers? You know, I mean, what if I have an employee? I'm fairly certain it's not going to be there in 2 years, let alone, you know, 5 years. And now I have to contribute for them. You know, I think what the, you know, if there's a match, obviously, you know, they're starting out at 3%, but I believe that increase is up to 10%. We've met some people that think it's wiser to take up to the match, stop there, and then do their Roth IRA, pay down debt, you know, buy income producing assets such as rentals. They don't want to do their 401k. They've got other ideas.
I would say, though, with the Secure Act, you know, one of the cool things that they do have in there is now that the match, because what we're used to seeing is if employers have a Roth 401k as an option, you can put your money into it, but the match goes into the traditional 401k. Now you can have your match. If an employer opts into this, they can put that money into the Roth 401k. So you can have your money, your contribution, and your Roth all going into the, or your contribution and their match going into the Roth 401k. So I don't like giving the government credit for anything, but I do like that part of the Secure Act. You did a good job. Good job on that one.
And government employees, that was Anthony's opinion, not necessarily Sam or my opinion. We do like and trust you. We know you. We like you. So, yeah, and there's two sides to every coin. I mean, you know, what if you're a young employee and you're literally living paycheck to paycheck? You're not wasting all your money. You're just trying to get by. You know, our whole thing, I mean, when I talk about proactive versus reactive, part of it is financial planning. It's steps, it's ladders. It's, you know, I hate to use a well-worn thing, but it's a journey. It's a destination. It's a long game. And I look at everything going on, the uncertainty of the world. You know, you invest mandatorily for 10, 20 years. What's your tax bracket going to be? What if that's the only thing you wind up putting your money in? And then later on, the tax brackets across the board are 60, 65%. You know, at that time, we have Medicare for all, and we're going to take all your money in taxes.
Roth 401ks, if you got them, look into those.
Are you positive that the government can never come back and change that tax code? Because, you know, we're all in this together. And I, believe me, I'm not saying the Roth's going to be gone. I'm just, you know.
Well, you just got to plan for what we know right now. Could they come back and change the rules? 100%. They're already starting to change the rules on the Roth, the backdoor Roth, the Roth conversions, if you make too much money, which is kind of scary. I mean, you think, I kind of get why they're doing it, you know, in theory, but that could trickle down. You know, right now it only affects people making over $400,000 a year or something like that. And that's a ton of money. So I get that. I don't know how many people we know that are making that kind of money, but that could trickle down. That could become $200,000. That could become $100,000. Right. It could be eventually $50,000. That could eventually just go away. And we love the Roth conversion, but it's a stepping stone when you're starting to limit things.
What gets shrunk? The middle class. That's one of the 10 pillars. You know, the insanely wealthy they're getting wealthier. You know, look at the coronavirus, the couple of years we minted new billionaires. You know, the impoverished, they hover. We're a compassionate nation. You know, the middle class, the veterans, the seniors, who do we always pick on? So the people that are doing the Roth conversions, in our experience, are fairly solid middle, upper class, upper middle class, I guess you say it.
Well, a lot of that lower middle class, regular middle class, they're not being taught those things. They don't know that's an option. Right. They don't understand the benefits to it. They're not seeking a help from J.R. Rochford at Rochford and Associates on how to learn about these things.
Well, that's why we're here. That's why last week we talked about life insurance and why it's not just a necessary evil. Isn't that what you called the banks last week too? A necessary evil?
Yeah, so, I like saying that a lot.
I think what we should do today, let's be a little less doom and gloom than usual. Like I was going to bring up, you know, the food shortages and bring all that up again. You know, the president of the United States a couple of weeks ago said the word famine. You know, we're being kind of coached that there's going to be a wheat shortage and now corn prices. I know this past week, corn prices shot up $8 a bushel. That's going to be problematic if you eat cereal or Fritos or pretty much name it.
Yeah, so, everything with the corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup, it's everywhere.
I don't know what that is, but I wouldn't touch it. I'm too much of a health nut.
Well, let's go back to that. I want to kind of continue about the famine, inflation. I mean, especially if we're going to bring up the 10 pillars again next segment. But for now, you know, we brought a lot to your attention. We're going to bring a lot more. In the meantime, you can find us at anothermoneyshow.com. You can also email us directly at team@anothermoneyshow.com. That's team@anothermoneyshow.com. And we're looking forward to answering any questions, concerns, anything you got for us, anything you want to learn more about, we're here for you.
Thanks so much for listening to Another Money Show. If you like what you're hearing, make sure to rate our show on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you concerned about market volatility, rising taxes from the Biden administration, and how it could affect your retirement? Then listen to Another Money Show with J.R. Rochford and Anthony Correo. Learn how you can reduce the taxes you pay before and during retirement. Another Money Show every Saturday at 4 p.m. on 960 The Patriot. Schedule your free, no-obligation consultation now by calling 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444.
Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to project the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
You are back to Another Money Show with Anthony Correo and J.R. Rochford. And we were just talking about President Biden bringing up a potential famine. So you might ask yourself, what does a potential famine have to do with my retirement? What does that have to do with my 401k? You know, we mentioned the 10 pillars a ton of times, you know, and we're going to continue. 10 pillars aren't necessarily directly related to finances. They're not directly related to your retirement. It's not related to your 401k. But these are things going on in the world. These are big subjects that if something tips, if something goes wrong with any of these 10 things, you know, there could be an impact. You know, 401ks, the stock market got trashed in 2008. Well, was it all of these companies were crashing around us? No, it was housing. Housing was one pillar that went down that took everything else out around it. So when we talk about 10 pillars, here's all these other things that we're looking at. We're waiting to see how these play out that could affect you financially down the road.
And what if two or three out of the 10 different pillars happen at one time? Could it be catastrophic? You know, part of why we talk about 10 pillars, everybody is looking for answers when things are uncertain. So we put this list of 10 things together saying, this is what people are saying. This is what we're hearing. This is what we're watching. You know, there's something else that we don't bring up enough. usually what people are not watching is the problem. There's something called a black swan event, and it means that everybody's watching Russia and Ukraine. A year ago, everybody was watching the virus. What if, I mean, right now, geopolitically, which is one of the 10 pillars, what if Iran, you know, actually tested a nuclear capability right now? That's something people are aware of, but they're certainly not watching it. So the 10 pillars, that's mainstream. We're still watching black swan events too, or for them. So a little history on the 10 pillars. What's going on? We have a client named Roger. Roger, I hope you're listening, because we give you credit for this all the time. And we started talking, you know, Roger's a little bit uncertain with the world like we are. And we started talking about what to watch, what could go wrong. And he said, you know, you need to put that on a list. You need to have a list. It's like these 10 pillars. You know, we didn't make up the word 10 pillars. That's from Roger. And that's how that started. So, well, let's do this, Anthony. Let's run down the 10 pillars and just talk for a couple seconds about each one, if that's all right. So
I would want nothing more than for you to go through this list and for us to talk about it. So thank you. Thank you, Jack.
My pleasure. I'm glad I'm here for you.
Actually, I think Sam wants it. Sam's really just, look at that face. He just needs 10 pillars in his life.
For Sam too, because Sam's young. You know, you're young. I mean, it's funny. The younger people are, the less they can really see these things are going on. When you joined me 4 years ago, Anthony, I remember some of the things you said. I expected. You said, well, you worry too much. There's always been stuff to worry about. I get that. I've been in my office 25 years. I look at history. And then, you know, when I sit with somebody, I look back 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Then I look forward 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Are things going to be the same, better, or worse? And I'm sorry to say, our very first episode, I introduced myself as a realist, not an optimist, not a pessimist. I put things together. I look for what's to come. So,
and do I say now about working with you after 4 years?
I believe the direct quote is, well, he's not wrong.
Oh, I was going to say, I used to be happy.
Oh, yeah. When you're an engineer, that's true.
Yeah. Well, I've gotten all this knowledge now. What is this? Like the Matrix? Like, I didn't know there were all these problems. I didn't know about the 10 pillars. And now it's like, oh, God.
Well, and what do I explain? What's the phenomenon I explain all the time to people on why they're not seeing it? Normalcy bias. That's my favorite thing. If you haven't looked up normalcy bias, please jot that down. Yeah, it's a lot more comfortable to ignore certain things that could be going on than it is to face them. You know, most people are watching The Masked Singer and Dancing with the Stars. Well, and it's safer. I'm more likely to have a heart attack than somebody that doesn't watch all this stuff. But you know what? Surprises are bad. The financial markets don't really like surprises. Nobody likes surprises. So let's get on to the 10 pillars. Let's talk a little bit about each one and go from there. First one, debt and deficit. I want to talk for a second about the debt. We on December 1st of 2021, so not even 6 months ago, we tipped over to $29 trillion. 2 months later to the day, on February 1st of 2022, we tipped 30 trillion. And whenever I bring that up, Anthony's like, nobody cares. 12 zeros. They don't get it. They can't comprehend it. It doesn't make sense. We're throwing the term around like it's nothing, like we did, you know, years ago with billions. Well, let me tell you something. Let's put it into seconds. You know, there's what, roughly 60 seconds in a minute. Let's talk about seconds for a second. A million
small amount of the time.
What's that?
A trillion, that shouldn't be a month.
No, it's not much.
That's not a lot.
So, and let me break it down for you. A million seconds is 12 days. You know, Google this stuff. I mean, make sure I'm not full of hooey. Well, actually, I Googled it, so maybe I can. It's really crazy. But a million seconds, 12 days. A billion second, 31 years. A trillion seconds, 31,688 years. So think about that for a second. I mean, let's think about money. If you spent $40 per second around the clock, it would take you 289 days to exhaust $1 billion. If you did the same thing with $1 trillion, it would take you 792 years to go broke. I mean, those are numbers that, you know, when you look at seconds and dollars, it's incomprehensible. It's inconceivable. It's something we can't grasp. And we do have to deal with it sooner or later. So the debt is important. It's just not important yet, but it will be.
Well, you don't have to deal with debt. I mean, Venezuela didn't deal with debt and it turned out okay with them.
Yeah, they're doing great. Yeah. I mean, the food
lines. What about Rome? Rome didn't deal with their debt. They're still a massive world power.
I bring up bread and circuses all the time. Don't you kind of see the parallels? I mean, look at the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl week was the same week we went $30 trillion in debt. So, yeah.
And again, I can't comprehend $30 trillion. It's massive. But that's why I like breaking it down. That's debt per citizen of the United States, not just taxpayers. We're talking newborns. We're talking everybody that's breathing that is a citizen right now of this country. It's $91,000 per person. So if we all just pitch in a little bit, we can get ourselves out of this.
I'm in. Where do I send my check to?
I think that's going to be, I'm going to run for governor next.
Well, Anthony, that'll only work if we all stop spending money too.
Yeah. Stop. You don't need food. You don't need water.
Okay. Well, this is taking a turn. So I know we're running short on time before the break. So let me finish at least listing the 10 pillars. And as weeks go by, we will get into them more. You know, well, we need more time.
Yeah, let's keep going one by one, and then we'll bring it into the next segment.
And we could do that. And Sam, instead of 1 hour show, can we start having like a 6 hour show just so we can get through what's important, what we think people need to hear?
I'll talk to the folks at 960 The Patriot, see if we can get a whole day dedicated to another money show.
Nice. And then we'll have one long show. We can just have it looped. We never need to do another show. So if you have questions for us, if we ever pique your interest, reach out to us. We're at team@anothermoneyshow.com. That's team, T-E-A-M, at anothermoneyshow.com. Give us your questions. Let us, you know, we love to hear ourselves talk. We want to know what you want to know. So that's what we'll be on. You can also find us at anothermoneyshow.com. So we'll see you in a few minutes, and thank you so much for joining us.
At first I was afraid, I was petrified. I kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights just thinking how you'd done me wrong. I grew strong.
Fixed annuities, including multi-year guaranteed rate annuities, are not designed for short-term investments and may be subject to restrictions, fees, and surrender charges as described in the annuity contract. Guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuer.
Welcome back to another Money Show. I'm J.R. Rochford, and I am with Anthony Correo and our producer extraordinaire, Sam Davis. Thank you so much for joining us. So let's keep going with the 10 pillars. You know, one thing about the 10 pillars, we're going to talk about a lot each week. We're going to talk about it a lot. You know, we're financial guys. I mean, if you have questions, if you need somebody to help you review your 401k, see what your allocation options are, see what your fees are, if you have mutual funds, over the years, if you've had products, but you've never had a plan, let's be a second opinion for you. I mean, we would love to join you. We would love to help you. You know, when we talk about inflation and food scarcity and all this stuff we're worried about, you know, that's certainly going to tie into our finances. I mean, you know, everything we do, this is a money show. But we're also a life show. I mean, we need to talk about how your money affects everything in your life. So our whole thing with the 10 pillars, these are things that people are talking about. There's things people that are watching. We want you to know we're watching them too. So yes, we're looking at normal finances, but we're also watching the big picture around it. Let's get back to the 10 pillars. We talked a little bit about debt and deficits. You know, we've talked about financial markets. Obviously, the volatility is alarming. I read an article this past week about how we're due for another melt up. If you've heard the term meltdown, where things crash, melt up is where before a crash, things just skyrocket. Everything goes up, up, up. And, you know, when things are going up, people get in. When things are going down, people get out. That's the general rule of money. I mean, we don't buy low, sell high. We buy high, sell low. We don't have the stomach and discipline to do this right. So in general, obviously there's rules, you know, and exceptions and so forth. But we look at this like if there's a melt up, is that an opportunity to jump in? Or is that an opportunity to take some of your gains and get them off the table? You know, all the financial people we hear are saying, buy the dips. Why aren't they screaming, you know, sell the peaks? You know, when people talk about a paper loss, don't worry about 2008. You know, your 401k is down by 35, 37%. Don't panic. It's still age-based appropriate. You know, the old buy and hold strategy. And we, you know, I mean, I don't want to get too cynical, but we want to make sure everybody is doing what's right for their situation. Obviously, we can never give specific recommendations. We don't know who's listening. We think all seven of you that are listening might have different goals and dreams and aspirations, so we'll be careful. But let's get back to the 10 pillars. We talked about financial markets. I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on number three, which is taxes, because I think most people are in the same camp. You know, they're going up. That's all I can say. That's what most people think. Without a crystal ball, I don't know, but I can say it's what I believe too.
And
I think
that is taxes. Why we love Roth so much.
We love Roth.
Of those unknowns, because, you know, in theory, in retirement, your taxes will be less. But that's in theory. You don't know. That's very much an unknown. So
what
why worry about it?
What if healthcare, because that's one of our pillars, that's number five. What if healthcare, you know, Medicare for all comes into place? You know, I don't care that you're retired, you're not consulting, you thought you'd be in a zero tax bracket. I think it's going the wrong way. So Senator Roth, we love you. I think it was 1998 that you let us start having the Roth IRA, and we think you are cool. Inflation. I believe everybody's talking about inflation, and right now it doesn't seem to be lifestyle prohibitive. You know, you hear people grumbling. They're not happy with the gas prices, but they haven't stopped driving. You know, I've only seen one of the Facebook posts that are saying on Friday, you know, May 13th, let's not buy gas, which I love those. I mean, you can tell whenever the social media platforms gather around a topic, then you know mainstream is talking about it. So stay tuned. When gas prices go up a little higher, we're going to see those don't buy gas on a certain day things, and we can all have a good time with that.
Think of all the people we've seen at restaurants lately too.
Oh, it's crazy.
Prices are getting out, you know, insane for food, but it's not stopping. These places are packed.
Nope, because it's not problematic yet. So again, we're trying to be proactive and not reactive. So inflation, number five, healthcare, number six, underfunded and unfunded liabilities. You know, that's a fancy term. What does that mean? It basically means that, you know, when you look at the $30 trillion of debt on the books, and by the way, I would go to, what is it, Sam? usdebtclock.org. It's an infographic. I'm not sure the name for it, but it's really, really, you know, the more time you spend on it, the more interesting it gets. And it will make you more curious about the $30 trillion in debt. When Anthony talks about the personal debt, it's a great site. So that's www.usdebtclock.org. But a more important website that I would guide you to is anothermoneyshow.com. So do check us out. Make sure you email us. We want your questions. We want to start talking about what you want to hear. Email us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. And we will be back in a few moments to finish up the 10 pillars. And then we're going to talk about a really exciting subject.
If I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you a house.
I would buy you a house.
Thank you so much for joining us, taking time out of your weekend. So before the break, we were talking about the 10 pillars. Let's go ahead and finish that up, Anthony, and then we'll move on.
Well, let's remind everybody what the 10 pillars are.
So the 10 pillars are 10 things that people are talking about, things that we're watching, things that might affect the financial markets. So, and today I brought up Black Swan events, which is something else we're watching for. If everybody is watching the 10 pillars, they're not watching for something that could come out of the blue. So we're trying to watch everything right now. The world is very uncertain. We're in the most uncharted territory this country, perhaps the world, has ever been in. You know, when you look at the 10 pillars, debt, deficit, financial markets, taxes, inflation, healthcare, blah, blah, blah. The problem is these are all negative things, which could not only affect your retirement portfolio, they can affect your getting food and gas. So they are extremely important. And why aren't financial people addressing them? They probably are. You know, when you're with a couple, when you're with somebody, you have to address it. People want to know about it. But we have this larger platform due to the radio show, and we want to get it out to a bunch of people. You know, we want you prepared, not scared. I guess that's the best way I can sum this up.
Yeah, so proactive and not reactive. That's the whole motto, the whole everything.
Yes. And when I say prepared, not scared, it's like, well, yeah, but all you're doing is telling me all these negative things. Of course, it's going to scare me. Yeah. But the thing is, do something about it. We don't like surprises. You know, the old Boy Scout model. If I have it and I don't need it, so what? But if I need it and I don't have it, I have a problem. So we want you scared so you become prepared, and then you'll be less scared.
Right. That's simple. You know,
that was really hard to say.
team@anothermoneyshow.com, team@anothermoneyshow.com. Reach out to us. If anything we're saying, you know, triggers something in your brain that's like, oh, I guess I need to be worried, or I am, you know, the way I'm investing, this could hurt that. You know, if you have questions, reach out to us.
Yes. You can even call us, leave us a message. We'll get back to you. Call us at 623-401-8760. 623-401-8760. And we'll be glad to answer any questions you have.
So where were we at on the pillars? We're underfunded.
Yeah, we talked about liabilities. Underfunded. We basically, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, these are big, huge programs. Look at Social Security. You know, it used to be we did a lot of Social Security planning. Should I take it at 62? Should I wait till I'm 66 and 10 months? Should I get my extra 8% until I'm 70? There's less and less people asking that. They think the system's underfunded. They think it's broke. They think we better grab it while we can. So you take the fact that 10,000 baby boomers, people that were born, like I'm the last year of the baby boomers. If you were born in 1964, you're at the tail end of that. There's 10,000 of us a day retiring. So the two problems, once you retire, you're not paying into that Social Security system anymore. So that's slowing down the influx to it. The second thing is when we do less and less Social Security planning, it's because people are grabbing at 62. So you're retiring, you're not paying into it. Then you're grabbing your Social Security right away. So, and then you add things like kiosks at Wendy's, McDonald's, Lowe's, Home Depot, Walmart, you name it. Those machines are their time saving for the store. The store doesn't have to pay an employee their salary. They don't have to pay into workers' comp. They don't have to give benefits to a machine. The problem in my eyes for the machine, it's not paying into Social Security. And at my age, I'm nearing Social Security age. So I would like people to pay into it so it's still there for me.
Yeah, so, and if we talk about wages too, I mean, you know, there's a big argument on minimum wage and not going up. Well, if you look at minimum wage versus, you know, maximum wages, all these millions of dollars that CEOs are making, when it comes to Social Security, you're only taxed to Social Security up to, what is it, about 120,000, maybe 130,000? Sounds that means right. If you have a ton of people making really no money at all, they're paying their percentage into Social Security. You get these massive multimillionaires, these billionaires, you know, anything they're bringing in, they're only paying into Social Security for that little bit.
Well, it's definitely a system that is in need of fixing, but it's not a very popular thing. So politically, it's not something anybody cares to address, you know, until it is. It's really broken. So it's going to keep hobbling along until it isn't.
And those days, and then we look at, I mean, you read their financials, you know, you're talking about turning on at 62. And the thought is, you know, maybe you'll get grandfathered in. And you hope that if there are massive cuts to Social Security, it won't affect you. But we read their financial statement each year. We're looking at their summary and they're talking about being insolvent in the next 10 years. You know, well, what is their plan? They're talking about raising taxes almost four or fivefold, which is an insane tax hike. Is that when they need to stay solvable? But they also mention in the report cutting benefits for those that are already taking it. So, you know, the thought of being grandfathered in, you may not be safe there. They really don't know. They know they're hurting, but they don't know how to stop the bleeding.
Well, and we assist people with different levels of wealth. We assist people that have a good deal of money. We assist people on a true fixed income, somebody that maybe just has Social Security, spouse passes on, they have theirs or half of the other spouse, you know, a small pension. This is problematic. So, and I know we can't solve it today, but we want to make sure people know about it. They're addressing it. You know, we're always looking for multiple sources of income. We're looking for anything we can to help people get by. So moving on. Pillar number seven, the shrinking middle class. I mean, obviously it's been shrinking for years and decades. Yeah, right now, I would say it's coming faster and faster. You know, especially during the last couple of years of the virus days, the rich have gotten richer. I mean, there's been a lot of wealth creation. The impoverished, I hate the word poor, but the people that are poor, they're hovering. They're really not changing. We are compassionate. We assist people enough to keep going, but never to get ahead. So, you know, the rich are going up, the poor are staying the same, and the middle class are going down. We are not going up. You can keep paying me more money per hour at my job, but if things keep costing more and more, I'm just not getting ahead, you know. And look at our cell phones, our smartphone, $1,200 for a new phone. It's just, you know, the cost of living is really, really getting cost prohibitive. I mean, look at the housing market. How does a young family go into a house? You know, what is the medium house in the city of Phoenix? You know, I don't know that, but I think I'm close when I say $400,000, that range. You know, that's just insane. You know, a young couple in their young 20s, late 20s to buy a house now. It's tough and getting tougher. So moving on, number 8, social media. You know, we talk about social media is wonderful. You can talk to relatives around the world. We can FaceTime. We can do Facebook. We can, you know, all these things. They're wonderful. On the flip side of that, they're also somewhat of a train wreck. I mean, look at the toilet paper shortage. You know, the toilet paper shortage, when it got to Facebook, that's when it really grew legs and people ran out. So there's definitely, you know, and when you look at the political landscape, the last decade of this country, I mean, my gosh, you know, on Facebook, orange man good, orange man bad. That means I'm going to disown my own child. I mean, it's, you know, the incivility is really, it's growing legs. And I have to give a lot of that credit to social media. I won't name any particular.
A lot of fighting on Facebook now. And it's so much easier to do it through social media because you don't have the conversation. It's not face to face. You know, you just hide behind a screen, you make your comments, and you know,
and we're getting too comfortable with sharing our opinions when we know that the country is so polarized. You know, I mean, you're gonna inflame emotions that it's just extreme. We need to go back to being nice to each other. You know, drive around the valley. People are rushed and rude. You know, the virus makes everybody claustrophobic. We still don't know how that ends. There's just so much. And it's instant. We go on social media. I mean, when's the last time, pardon my rudeness here, when's the last time you went to the restroom without your phone? I mean, whenever we're awake, we're looking at this stuff. You wake up in the middle of the night to use the restroom, you bring your phone with you. That's insane. You know, turn your phone off, go to bed. Here, thank you, Dad. Moving on, we have two more to cover. Geopolitical missteps is number 9. You know, we're all talking about Russia and Ukraine. North Korea fired off 12th or 13th, you know, rocket last week. You know, when you look at Iran, when you look at the chance of nuclear problems because of Iran, when you look at the, you know, in October, you know, I've been hearing October, is China going to go into Taiwan? And there's all this stuff all around the world. So, And I don't even want to go political with this. I know we're supposed to stay in the financial realm, but you know, look at this country. You know, you have to have borders to be a strong country. That's not a racist statement. That's a strength. That's a sovereign nation statement. You know, I'm going political.
Well, on the borders thing, it's the incentives. So if you come over here, but there's no incentives for you to come over here, then do people come over here? I mean, the wall is, there's so many different sides to the wall. Actually, there's two sides to a wall. That's usually how that works. But, you know, you get to the argument, but a lot of it's just that frivolous spending from the government. You know, the $30 trillion in debt, how much is going to illegal immigrants?
I love how you bring me from political right back to financial. I appreciate that because I'll tell you what. I want to get a second radio show where I really get to express how I see the world. You know, they don't have enough of those either. We all need another political show.
Another political show, another money show. I love it. Just another, you know, we're going to add on.
So one more. Let's talk about one more. The 10th pillar. And this one's heavy. Civil war. You know, we have people that bring that up. You know, I mean, there's so much polarization. Sexuality, there's straight versus gay, LGBT, you know, there's social things, black versus white, haves versus have-nots, red versus blue, vaxxed versus non-vaxxed. I mean, there's all these different things. I feel like part of the issue with the social media, the media in general, they're kind of pushing people towards each other in a negative way. So how on earth do I equate the potential of civil war into finances? Do you think the housing market is going to stay as strong as it is if there's actual unrest in cities. You know, I mean, what could bring on civil war? Not just the polarization of the country. If you can't get food, if there's a 2 to 3 day supply of food on the shelves in the grocery stores, and just talk to a truck driver, start looking for truck drivers' input on that. If there's no food for a few days, do you think the next thing to come is civil war? I would urge you to look at other countries around the globe and see if that's a potential. Boy, this has gotten kind of heavy. So let's let's lighten it back up a little bit. I want to finish today with something actually financial. We don't have a lot of time left, so I know we're not going to do this justice, but I want to at least plant the seed, because next week, look at me hooking you into next week already. Next week, our big focus is going to be on what, you know, all this negativity. What do you do about it? You know, last week we talked about long-term care, you know, having a plan. We talked about life insurance. Not only should you have it in normal life, it's a legacy. It's a beneficiary tool that the wealth use. So,
and no taxes,
tax free. Is that true? In you know, state income tax free in most cases.
Right. Ooh, see, I like that's how you knock off one of those pillars. Now all of a sudden, taxation's not an issue. Tax free death benefit. See, we're gonna thinking stick about the pillars.
Roth IRAs. We love Roth IRAs. Did I mention that, Senator Roth? We love you. So let's talk for a second. When we talked about income being more important than assets, you know, one of the main tools, you know, what you use the word pension a lot. Since pensions are going away, we need to really start addressing how people can make themselves they set up. They want to do a self pension. So, and again, we're at the end of today's show. So this is for next week, but we are going to address the big, I'm going to say the A word, Anthony.
Ooh,
I'm going to say the word.
Be ready to beep him.
Get ready to beep me. Next week, we are going to dig into annuities. We need to figure out how to make that word echo.
Right. So, but until then,
you
can find us at Another Money Show, and you can contact us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. That's TEAM @anothermoneyshow.com. So thanks for listening. We're looking forward to talking to you next week.
Have a great weekend.
Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interest of our clients and to make full disclosure of any conflicts of interest if any exist. Investment advisory services offered through Ridge Capital Advisors LLC, a registered investment advisor. Ridge Capital Advisors and Rochford & Associates are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through Ridge Capital but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and unless otherwise stated are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.